In the life of faith and in life in general, there are beginnings, there are the renewal of beginnings, and there is a deepening in life. When we are reflective, we sometimes touch them. We wonder about their meaning and what we are to know or to learn from them. We all dream. The other morning, I woke from a dream, as I often actually do, and I learned years ago that when a dream wakes you up, that you ought to pay some attention to it. There may be a message there. This dream was about the first person I ever fell in love with, truly. I was not the one who ended that relationship. Perhaps it was just circumstances of youth. I wonder now. Why is it that that place is always raw in me? I lay there wondering, why this dream now? Was there something that I was to learn? Does something apply to my own relationship now that I need to know? Or is there just this unresolved place from long ago that rests deep in my psyche and takes its toll from time to time? Dreams. We are in the Epiphany season, the season about the early manifestations of who Jesus is to himself and in himself for the church and for each of us. We are reading the waking chapter of Mark's gospel, Mark's good news. Mark begins rather abruptly, this good news. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of me, you, to prepare your way." Mark is about to tell his story, his good news of how the life and the death of Jesus brings good news to those who will receive it, who will take it in, who seek to begin and begin again and grow deeper. There's no nativity, no angels, no travelers that come from afar, just the sudden announcement. "I'm about to tell you," he essentially says, "about Jesus, who I know to be the Christ, who I know to be the Son of God." It begins with a messenger sent, one called John, and his task was to prepare the way for the Son of God by bringing people to awareness, repentance, attention. Kind of, now is the time for a waking dream that makes you think. It is God's dream, if you will. It is God's coming anew. Splash of water, and you awake to it. Put away your life that is ill attentive to God. Repent, turn, and turn again. Begin anew. One mightier than I is about to show up. He will introduce you to the Spirit of God with great power. And amidst this beginning anew, Jesus just shows up. In Mark, he simply walks in among the crowd and is baptized. And this baptism is for him a moment when vocation is defined and accepted for the Markan writer. Jesus, and Jesus alone, sees the heavens open, the Spirit move, and the words seem to ring in his inner ear. "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And whatever you make of the launch of the good news in Mark's gospel, notice this. Baptism is not just repentance. It is a vocation and a defining experience. It is a proclamation of relationship with expectations. Son, daughter, beloved, well pleased. When we baptize into Jesus and into his call. And that call is not primarily about being saved from sin, though that will be part of it. It is rather accepting expectations. Or when we baptize infants, for instance, laying out expectations. And we stand in the breach for them while they grow into those expectations. It is being awakened to a way of being in the world that represents God's intentions and God's care. It is accepting a beginning and a life which seeks to renew the beginnings time and time again. It is a deepening into Jesus. As the Orthodox tell us, God became human so that humans might become divine. For each of us, there is some moment, if we are attuned, when the holiness of God reaches out to us. When all that baptism might be can be caught up in a moment. And perhaps if we are fortunate, we may happen to have more than one. For me, it came when I was 19 and just returning from a 6-year absence from the church. And a certain Sunday came, and I bashfully but hopefully went forward to receive communion for the first time in years. And as the host was laid into my hands, then came those powerful but ordinary words, "The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee." And some overwhelming sense shot through my being for thee, like an electric charge. It disarmed and disoriented and perhaps reoriented me in a long moment. It would be days before I could speak of it. What was previously corporate became deeply personal. What was done for all was now also done for me. And beneath it was a restless peace. The peace like being lovingly known as if for the first time. And with it the desire to be known, worthy or not. And then the moment passed. Life has taught me that we only get so many of these moments, the sharp ones, the ones that disarm us, perhaps only once, the ones that stop us in our tracks and point our lives if we can receive them. They don't always happen in church or around church. They may happen in nature, in a moment of intense wonder, in a moment when poverty moves us for the first time, really moves us. At the birth or the instruction of a child and the wonder they bring. In some moment after life has shattered and something deep opens up. Is it inside us? Is it beyond us? An aloneness gives way to a companioning that seems for a moment deep, like we are understood, like we are accompanied. And in that moment, we are beloved. It seems to come from nowhere and from everywhere. And then it is gone. Such moments may never come again. They only appear to have come twice to Christ as we know him in Mark's gospel. Once at his baptism, again at his transfiguration when the four heard, "This is my son, the beloved, listen to him." Perhaps it came to him in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." But we have no way of knowing that. What we do know is that his was a life of deepening, of offering new beginnings and the renewal of beginnings, a series of the gentle, continuous comings of God. They were his nature. They were his depth. The child on his knee is turned into a vision of the reign of God. The blind are offered healing sight. The poor are lovingly noticed. The rich too, actually. The sinful absolved by time taken and questions answered. Better ways shown, and sometimes only then an absolution spoken. Hours spent in reflection and instruction, care for the human mind and the human will. This was his vocation, come from the heart of God. "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." These gentler comings of God are what we weave our life of faith on. God comes in our care. Jesus shows up in the way we listen and hear, in the hands we hold, in the meals we lovingly prepare and then give away, in the acts of helping each other parent, in the aging and the ill visited and assisted, and the child on our knee, heard and instructed in life, and the flow of compassion that comes from the very heart of God. In the baptismal waters, vocation is born. Child of God, beloved, the desire to be of pleasure to God. I find these current days in our culture so troubling because I sense that we might have lost our way, our vocation as a nation, if we ever had one, to look at one another with compassion and to continually wonder how we serve. And so it becomes so much more important that we, the body of Christ, treasure our calling and our vocation, that we give ourselves daily to the things that Jesus gave himself to, that we weave the gentle comings of God into our everyday lives, that we begin and begin again and grow deeper, that the waking dream of God in Jesus becomes the dream of God in us. Amen.